I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that He gives us these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yesterday we touched upon the introduction of our topic for the rest of the 2 weeks that we'll be gathered together, inshallah, with some exceptions. I think as you saw the schedule, there's a couple of nights where they have set up the entire night as an interactive program. I think the first of them is tomorrow, so come out tomorrow. We're going to be playing a game. You're going to learn still, don't worry. Yeah, but it's going to be a game just to get some interaction and your blood flowing. So it's going to be a game for bragging rights, where it's going to be men versus women. Yeah, and the loser has to wash the dishes forever. So there's a lot of things to play for, but inshallah, come out, bring your children tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun, inshallah. But most of the other nights, we're going to be discussing letter number 31 of Nahjul Balagha. As we touched upon it yesterday, this is considered to be the second longest letter in Nahjul Balagha, or that was written by the Imam that we have in our possessions at least. And it's a letter that he writes to his son, our second Imam, alayhi salam. So today I want to just get into the letter. And he begins the letter with an introduction, basically, from who to who. But he doesn't say, from Ali to Hassan. He doesn't say, from your father to my son. But he actually begins to describe himself and he begins to describe his son. Now again, we got to keep in mind, right, that when we said that he's addressing it to his son, it's not really addressing it to his son. We touched upon this yesterday. He's talking to us. So the Imam alayhi salam says, from the father who is shortly to die, who acknowledges the hardships of the times, who has turned away from life, who has submitted himself to the calamities of time, who realizes the evils of the world, who is living in the abodes of the dead and is due to depart from them any day. That's how he describes himself. Right? It's a very touching introduction. It's a very touching way to begin this letter. Let's read what he says about his son and then we'll talk about it. And he says, to the son who yearns for what is not to be achieved, who is treading the path of those who have died, who is the victim of ailments, who is entangled in the worries of the days, who is a target of hardships, a slave of the world, a traitor of its deception, a debtor of wishes, a prisoner of mortality, an ally of worries, a neighbor of grief, a victim of distresses, who has been overpowered by desires, and who is a successor of the dead. So right away you can see that the tone of this letter is going to be one where the Imam alayhi salam is trying to take his son, just to put it in a lack of better term, right? But he's trying to take us out of these characteristics where we're overpowered by our desires, where we're attracted to dunya so much that we can't seem to get out of dunya, not realizing that there is something imminent awaiting us, and that imminent is death, right? And the Imam says, I'm coming from that perspective where I can see that death is the only thing left for me, you know? It almost sounds like a person who's been you could say who's been defeated on one hand, or you can say that it sounds like a person who has accepted the reality of dunya. I don't want to say the Imam is defeated, right? But for a person who, for one of us to get to this stage where we see the world in this way, where look, man, I'm about to die, doesn't matter. Yeah, I see what's important. Since I'm about to die, I'm going to do what's necessary for me to be successful when I die, right? Not that I'm about to die, let's live it up. That's not what the Imam is doing here. The Imam is basically looking at it from a very pragmatic perspective. But if we were to get to this stage, it would be after trying to conquer dunya and realizing that we cannot conquer dunya. Yeah, we would be defeated. Here the Imam alayhi salam has accepted that this is how life is, and he's teaching this to his son. It's interesting, right? That why? The way if I would write a letter, I would not write a letter this way to you, right? I would say from Jafar to whoever I'm speaking to, right? And I think that one of the reasons our ulama give as to why there are descriptions rather than nouns that are being used here or proper nouns is because the Imam alayhi salam is by talking in this way and addressing the letter in this way, he has made this letter timeless. Yeah? That there is no restriction anymore. That, you know, if I had read this letter 100 years from now, I would have said, well, it's from Ali to Hassan, it doesn't have any relevance to me. Yeah? If I had read it 1200 years from now, I might have said that. But the fact that he doesn't mention any names, yeah, he's talking about something that is endless and that can be read at all times and understood. There are a couple of really interesting things if we were to ponder about what the Imam says about himself. He's coming from the perspective of experience, right? He's talking to his son from experience. And that's something that can never be duplicated. I can be book smart, and I can be very book smart, but experience trumps book smartness, yeah? Because you see how life works, right? And this is why, in my opinion, those amongst us who are more experienced with the more white hair on their faces and on their hairs like to give the younger generation such a hard time. Yeah? Because they think they're experienced. And so because they're experienced, they can bully them sometimes. They can dictate to them sometimes. And yes, the Imam alayhi salam is coming from the perspective of experience, but it is experience plus humility that makes this so effective. Yeah? See, I can't have experience, and I can try to tell you, Baba, you need to do this and you need to do that. But once I start talking to you like that, you shut down automatically. Right? But if you come with experience and humility, that's what the Imam alayhi salam is showing us. It's so powerful. It's so powerful, right? And this is something that I think a lot of us really need to learn, right? That when I am giving you my experience, I gotta have a little bit of dose of humility alongside with it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Amma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And so the Imam alayhi salam here, he talks about, he describes himself in this way for another reason as well, we are told by the ulama, is that he wants his son, i.e. us, to adopt these qualities as well. To learn these qualities. You know, these qualities are very important, that there are evils in this world and I have to accept it. This world is not going to be a bed of roses. This world is going to constantly deceive me. This world is constantly going to disappoint me. And if we could reach this stage of existence, if we could reach this stage of acceptance, I think the world then becomes much easier to navigate through. I think sometimes we have these high expectations that, no, I'm going to become like a millionaire, you know? I'm going to hit the jackpot if I had just played the Bitcoin on time, you know? And all of these things, you know, these things that come into our minds, really. But the Imam alayhi salam is saying, look, you're just chasing things. You're never going to have anything. And the more we accept that, I think the dunya becomes much easier to work through, to navigate through. So the Imam alayhi salam wants his son to reach this station. And then the Imam alayhi salam describes his son in this way that we read. And again, read it. It was refreshing that when I left yesterday, many people came up to me and said, Sheikh, I'm going to go home and read letter number 31. I like that, right? I like that we have a community that wants to learn, that wants to grow, right? And so, if you go back and read this, I think there's a lot here for us to take. You know, the Imam alayhi salam is describing his son in these ways, the victim of ailments, target of hardships, slave of the world, debtor of wishes, you know, constantly, oh, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. Oh, we live our whole life in wishes, yeah? I wish this would have happened and I wish that would have happened. Baba, it's not going to happen. Let go of it. Right? Let's move on. Let's move on and let's try to see what we can get instead. The Imam describes his son in this way, but it's really interesting is that he's really describing the general tendency of all human beings. Yeah? Most human beings. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much gray hair you have, how much experience you have. If you don't have the right type of experience backed with the right type of mentality, yani deen mentality, Islamic mentality, what God, divine mentality is maybe how we can put it, We're always going to be people who are going to be prisoners of dunya. Yeah? Always hoping for that next big thing. Always hoping for the next big ticket, the next big retirement, the next big whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, right? And so the Imam alayhi salam, you know, he's talking to his son in a way that, look, he's like, you have to realize that this is, you're not the only one who has these wishes. You know, like, I have a wish to hit a millionaire. Well, everybody in here has a wish to be a millionaire. And we're all having the same wishes, right? The Imam is saying, look, you're not the only one. These are the general tendencies that most human beings have. And it's important that you come out of this stage and graduate to the real stage where God wants you to be, to realize that this dunya is nothing more than a bridge that we're going to cross over and get to. And I think that when the Imam alayhi salam describes his son in this way, I think one of the very important points that the Imam alayhi salam is representing or making clear here is that there is no such thing as a life without difficulties and hardships, right? I think that if we can accept this as a rule, that there is not going to be a life without hardships. There is not going to be a life without difficulties. Man, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what background you're from. I don't care what family you're from. We're all going to be suffering from some type of difficulty. And I don't want your difficulties, and you don't want my difficulties. I can guarantee you that. Right? And I think we can all guarantee you. Like, we see the grass greener on the other side, but if we were to go live in that neighborhood, our grass would look pretty darn good too. Yeah? But we live in this mentality where we think that the other person is living a better life. But the Imam alayhi salam is trying to tell us something very, very beautiful. And I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinking like that, that this life is full of hardships. This life is going to be with difficulties, right? You know, if you prepare yourself for difficulties, when that difficulty comes, it will be very easy for you to overcome that difficulty, right? But if you just think that life is going to be all great and then difficulty comes, you're going to crumble because you didn't expect that difficulty. So prepare for it. And when you prepare for it the right way, you will realize that I will take whatever difficulty comes my way. I'm not going to fight it. Yeah? There was a time when, you know, I think my brothers and sisters, we have to aim for spiritual maturity, you know? Spiritual maturity is much more than the physical maturity of being able to, like, deal with things. But spiritual maturity is to use the difficulty literally as stepping stones to get higher and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? There are times when we are faced with difficulty and we want to fight it. And there are times where we take this difficulty, embrace it, and grow from it, and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why God has placed difficulties, right? God tries us, God tests us, for no other reason than God loves us. That's why. Because He wants us to grow from these experiences. There's so much to talk about. We're just in the first paragraph, right? But another thing that's really, really interesting here is that if you were to pay attention and actually count these attributes, you find that the Imam alayhi salam describes himself with 7 attributes and he describes his son with 14 attributes, right? And there is a great symmetry here. Almost like, you know, the ulama say that what the Imam is saying to his son is that, look, my child, if you don't face up to the realities of the world, you'll be faced with double the problems than you would if you did face up to the realities of the world, right? And that's really cool to look at it from that way, because if I were to accept the realities of the world, the Imam is saying I'm still going to face difficulty in my life. So just because I sit here and say, oh, dunya is like this, and okay, fine, I accept it, doesn't mean life is going to be like a bed of roses from now on. No, I'm still going to face the difficulties, but I'll just have more backbone to be able to deal with that difficulty. You understand? Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And then he begins the next paragraph, right? He says, it begins with Amma Ba'd, now. Amma Ba'd, as we all say when we give lectures, it literally means and after that. So I've started with an intro and now I'm moving on to something else. The Imam alayhi salam says, Amma Ba'd. And now you should know that I have learned from the turning away of this world from me, the onslaught of time over me, and the advancing of the next world towards me is enough to prevent me from remembering anyone else except for myself, and from thinking beyond myself. But when I confine myself to my own worries, leaving the worries of others, my intelligence saved me and protected me from my desires. This is really interesting. The Imam alayhi salam says that, look, I'm your father who has recognized that death is approaching me. So when I live expecting death at any moment, right? Expecting that the world is going to take me down like this speedy escalator to this final ending of death. If we were to live our lives in this way, I think the way we would prioritize things would be different, right? If I actually feel like I'm going to be alive forever, or if I'm not going to be succumbed to death, my priorities will be different, right? My priorities will be food and laughter and movies and drinks and all of these things. But if my priority is death and I'm going to die, my priorities are, man, I got to make sure that when I die, I'm okay, right? Both from the physical perspective and in the hereafter, right? And this is what the Imam alayhi salam is saying here. The Imam is saying that, look, when I accepted that death is imminent and that is my destiny, that I'm going there and I'm going there fast and there's nothing to stop me from going there, he said all of this awoke me to that which is most important in life. And you know what the Imam says it is? Myself, the Imam says. Yeah? Subhanallah. Yeah? Think about that. The Imam says that understanding death is imminent, it made me focus on that which is most important. It prevented me from remembering anyone else except for myself, the Imam said. Yeah? You know, we live in this world, yeah? Where Olosukeiro, what did he do? What did she do? Oh, where are they going for dinner? Oh, this is that. Oh, I can't believe they did this. I'm so worried about everybody else. Yeah? I think about other people all the time. I'm on social media all the time. Why? I want to know what you did, and I want to know what you did, and I want to know what you did. Yeah? And then I want to tell you whether I liked it or I didn't like it. Right? This is the way we work, unfortunately. We work talking about other people. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mu'minun in Surah Al-Mu'minun, He says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ لَغْوِي مُعْرِضُونَ. He says that the believers are those who are in awe of God in their salah, and that they avoid vain talk, right? And what is vain talk? Vain talk is to talk about other people, yeah? And we love talking about other people. You know, I gave this example at Masumin when we were talking about the tongue and the ability to control the tongue. When we were in the Hawza and we were trying to learn spiritual exercises, one of the spiritual exercises our teacher gave my wife and I is that they said that for 40 days avoid talking about anyone else in your house. Yeah? Good or bad, don't talk about anybody else. Yeah? And you know, if we were to try that at our houses, there would be days where you don't talk to your wife. Yeah? Because most of the time we're talking about other people. Yeah, most of the time we're talking about other people that, oh, can you believe he did this? Can you believe she did this? Can you believe this happened? And believe, but if we just learn to not talk about anybody else, because it's very, it's a slippery slope that even I'm praising somebody, but from that praise, it could turn into some form of criticism very quickly. And it could lead down to a path of backbiting very quickly, right? So the Imam alayhi salam says that when I learn that death is imminent, it made me focus on myself. And that is where the Imam alayhi salam talks about or makes us understand the importance of this, my brothers and sisters, is that when we understand the importance of what God wants from us, the only thing that's going to move on with me is myself, Yeah? When I die, you're not coming with me. You're not coming with me. My wealth is not coming with me. My RRSPs are not coming with me. Nothing's coming with me. Just I'm going. Yeah? And if I'm the only one who's going to be going, then I should be the center of my attention. It shouldn't be you. Yeah? It shouldn't be my bank balance, right? It should be me. And therefore, at all times, I need to understand what is most important for me to be successful. Now, it sounds a bit selfish, right? But when I think about myself and realize what I need to be successful, I need to be nice to others to be successful. I mean, it doesn't mean I can go around being rude to you because I have to worry about myself. No, I understand that God takes everything into account, right? So by me thinking about myself as the primary objective of being successful, in no way negates my social responsibility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't, right? And rather, I would say it enhances that social responsibility. But what it does is, though, is that because I'm thinking about myself, and then the next time you tell me like, hey, Sheikh, let's go hang out and have some shisha, I'd be like, yeah, I don't want to go there. Why? Because I'm kind of worried about my own soul. Last time I was there, we did a lot of backbiting. Yeah, last time we were there, we went to a restaurant that had music. We had to tell them to shut it off, for example. I worry about myself. I don't think that, oh man, I don't want to be that guy who's a party pooper and I don't want to just be that guy who says no and kill the baraza, so I must go. Right? No, I think about myself. And when I think about myself, I don't put myself in situations where I would be harmed in. And then the Imam says again something that's really remarkable. He says that when I began to think about myself, when I confined myself to my own worries, leaving the worries of others, my intelligence saved me and protected me from my desires. Yeah? Subhanallah. When you begin to think about yourself and what's important, what you need to be successful, what you need to be moving on to the next world, what happens is that intellect that has been numbed because of our desire to please others, our desire to please our souls, our desires to please everything else but that which is important, the intellect now recharges and begins to guide me. And this is, I think, something that for us to really understand, right? That as long as we are distracted with things which are not important, our intelligence will never come to our rescue. Yeah? And our intelligence is the greatest gift that God has given us. He says the first creation is the aql, right? The intellect. And it's the intellect. You know, when we talk about jihadun nafs, that what is jihadun nafs? Jihadun nafs is the battle between the intellect and the soul. That's who's fighting. The soul wants to hang out. The intellect says, no, you got to go to sleep. You'll miss Fajr. And the soul and the intellect fight with one another until one of them wins. Whoever wins is going to be the dominant one in your nature. So you understand then that if the nafs wins constantly, the intellect says, I'm not going to take this fight anymore. I'm just going to shut down. Until I begin to reprioritize my life, that is when the intellect once again kicks in. And when the intellect once again kicks in, it will control the nafs again. This is something that for us to really pay close attention to. That why am I constantly struggling in doing jihadun nafs? Why am I constantly struggling in doing what God wants from me? Is because we have not used our intellect, right? And we've actually numbed our intellect or muted our intellect. So the way to start it again is by refocusing on that which is most important for our success in this world and the hereafter. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And then it gets even more beautiful, right? He said that once my intellect kicked in, it clarified to me my affairs and led me to a seriousness wherein there was no trickery and truth which has not tarnished by falsehood. Once my intellect kicked in, my intellect will always guide me to that which God wants from me, right? Now, this is the pure intellect we're talking about, the real intellect, not the intellect that has been brainwashed here, right? We're talking about an intellect that still recognizes the difference between right and wrong. And inshallah, we all have that level of intellect. But the Imam says here that I think is really, really beautiful, that in this clarity, that I have. My intellect kicks in. You know, that example of a light bulb coming on is really what I want you to face or think about here, right? This light bulb comes on in my brain and I can see things clearly. And the Imam says that here, I found you a part of myself. Yeah? Yeah, and he says that when my intellect kicked in, I saw how important you are, my son, to my life. Yeah? I realize my responsibility that I have towards you. Here, the Imam says, I found you a part of myself. Rather, I found you my whole. Subhanallah. Yeah? This is like the batal, you know, the most bravest warrior ever talking in such a sweet way to his son, you know. That says something to us fathers who think that we have to be rough and tough with our children. Yeah? Speak to them in an affectionate manner. You are my whole. You are my life. Yeah? Imagine if we spoke to our children in this way rather than be like, Baba, come here. You know, it's a different way of speaking to our children. The Imam is showing us how it can work if we speak to them in a beautiful way. The Imam says, I found you my whole, so much so that if anything befell you, it is as though it befell upon me. And if death came to you, it was as though death came to me. Subhanallah. Yeah, the Imam could be very, very sweet in the way he spoke. Consequently, the Imam says, your affairs meant to me what my own matters meant to me. So I have written this piece of advice to you as an instrument of seeking help through it, whether I remain alive for you or cease to exist. Imam basically is saying to him that when I realize what is important, I saw that my responsibility is to cater for your needs, and I will work and do whatever I can to help you so that you take this advice. And I think this is where we see, and I think we do this, alhamdulillah, that we see the importance of the youth and the younger generations in our community, and why it's the responsibility to make sure we do everything that we can to cater for them and to guide them so that they are going to take and accept the advices we have so that their lives are not as difficult as ours. But then on the flip side, you know, there's a responsibility that sometimes our youth don't want to accept, is that when we give you advice with humility, you have to take that advice, right? And accept that advice. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel again because you think that we have invented it incorrectly. I have surprisingly put myself in the older category right now, yeah? But inshallah, the Imam, again, look at it, it's very beautiful. The Imam now then begins to give specific advice as we move on. Wa akhiru da'wan أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين